prayer is in any circumstances, because we know that God takes care of us. He's doing it right now. He's been doing it. He's the same God yesterday, today, and he's going to be the same God forever. And so we might as well just trust, because at the end of the day, he's the one that holds all the keys. So just praise the Lord for what he's already done in this place today. That's right. He promised us that, didn't he? Yes, he did. Over the past several weeks, we have been talking in the spirit, really, of the need reaching out to the world and sharing the gospel. As a couple of weeks ago, we talked about being a foreign missionary in our native lands and combating the culture that we're living in today and all the rest of that. And last week, investing and your treasures in heaven, and being able to look upon the needs of others and look at others more highly than we look at ourselves. And so we know kind of what we should be doing when it comes to being missionaries in America. And you ought to think about yourselves in that manner, that you, not just the people that are going overseas, not the people that we send money to here in the church and we take up offerings for when they come and speak to us, but every single one of us is a missionary in the sphere of influence that we're in. And that sphere of influence is your job, your family, the friends that you have, whoever that you have that God has placed in your life. That's your sphere of influence that God has given you that you can be a missionary to. And it's like when Nehemiah had the mandate to go build the wall. It was that people built the wall in front of their homes. And if everybody did that, and you built your section, and the other person built their section, then we were having a full wall around the city of Jerusalem again. And the same thing, if we would take care of our sphere of influence, then we would see an amazing impact in the communities that we live in. But we're living in a dark world, y'all, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. But we're to shine our light into this world. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. How to shine your light for Christ and being a reflector. The definition of shine, if you take a look at that in the dictionary, is to basically to give off or reflect light. To give off or to reflect light. And Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16 say, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing." So from that, Paul is telling the church at Philippi here, as you look at this particular verse in verse 15, you know, "so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe." I submit to you that we are living in a crooked and depraved generation thousands of years after this was written. So, and people talk a lot as if there has been a tremendous amount of stuff that has changed in our world. Not really, y'all. Not really. We have always been, think about it. Think about not even six chapters into the Bible and he had to destroy the world. He had to destroy all of life except for eight people and the two animals on the ark. They got pretty bad. We have been having issues since the fall. We have been a crooked and depraved society and people. What we're seeing for you and I is we are seeing the decline of our country to follow other powers and other countries that have done the same thing, the Roman empires, all the rest of them. Our country, yes, was founded, and we had some, you know, Christian principles and whatnot, and we're seeing a spiritual erosion of those things. So it feels like in America that we just keep getting worse and worse and worse. But what I submit to you is this cycle has been going on for a long time. All right. And we're just experiencing it right here in our own back doors in our lifetimes as we look at America. But the Bible often speaks to us about shining our lights. And I'm not going to go over every one of those scriptures today. I'm just simply submitting that to you. But it begs the question to me, how exactly do you shine your light in this world that we're living in today? I understand, I'm not here to preach to you about how dark and how gloomy and how bad and how it's the living in the end times and all the rest of that kind of stuff. We know that. We have been knowing that for years that it's bad. So I have submitted that, right? So what do we do about it? That's the point I want to make today. What do we do? As a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, being charged with taking the gospel out and preaching that, I have to ask myself, how do we minister in this world? I don't just talk about the problems that we have in the world and bash generations of people or cultures of people that are depraved and all the rest of it. That's not my heart. My heart is, what do we do to help? Shouldn't that be what our question is in the church? How are we to be helping? How do we change? How do we be a part of the solution in our spheres of influence, in our communities, in our states, in our nations, and in the entire world alone? But that's where the rubber meets the road. And this is not in your notes. This is free. Where the rubber meets the road, see, we can't fix this problem by throwing money at it. We are used to, something happening and we say, well, there's a catastrophe that has happened in the nation of Haiti. Send us a donation you just get on your app or you send a little money to a ministry somewhere and you contribute money to ministries all over the place. But you're not really getting up and doing anything about it, right? It is easier for people to want to do something, to then even maybe take the next step and pray, or maybe the next step and send financial stuff. But if you were asking the church, and if I was asking this church, hey, let's do Operation Christmas Child, we'll do 325 boxes. We'll get people to give some money. And we'll get people to maybe bring items. It's even hard to get people to bring items. Most people just turn in a little cash. It's the easier thing to do, right? We ask, hey, we need to put these boxes together. Woo, participation varies a little bit. Participation would vary even to a lesser degree if we said, we're going to go to Nairobi, Kenya, and we're going to hand these boxes out ourselves. How many people is going to go? It would be a lot less people than what bring the box. I know there's people in here. Obviously, there's people in here, y'all, that would want to go. I understand that. But I'm saying that from a worldly perspective, or looking across the world, when it comes to actually having boots on the ground, we're losing it more and more. I was talking to somebody the other day about the giving, philanthropy type giving in Macon, when it comes to a lot of our organizations in Macon are built on people giving donations, loaves and fishes, rescue mission, these types of places. And folks, I don't know, my generation don't give the things that way to that. They don't give to the church. They don't give to those types of things. And once some of y'all were in here a part of this, an older generation that do give and do put forth effort and do volunteer and all of that kind of stuff, my generation is not coming up doing a whole lot of that kind of stuff. And so we're going to, the boots on the ground type stuff is really going away. And when you look at it from the Christian perspective and you look at this in the church, I have done this before. Say, well, hey, we're going to come to church and we got over 100 and some odd people here this morning. But you know what? I want you to meet me here tonight and we're going to go out and knock on some doors and minister to some people and see if we can't pray. And I get 5 people show up. Boy, nobody amen that. What are we here for? You ever ask yourself, why did you get up this morning to come to church? Why did you get up early? I didn't get home to 12:45 last night and got in bed about 2 o'clock and got back up at 6:30. For what? Just to come enjoy a social club? To come see a bunch of people that I like to see once a week? Why am I here? Why are you here? Why are we Christians? Why did you turn your life over to God? Why are you wanting to maybe turn your life over to God? Shouldn't we be living differently and acting differently than the world? Okay, so I want to make sure maybe you don't agree. But how exactly we shine, and I've got a couple of points in here. Number one, we've got to be countercultural. Countercultural. This is going in direct opposition almost to what just a culture says. And because we know we live in this dark world, but in Romans 13:12, it says, "The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." Okay? There are many people, if you read really in Romans 13 here, these verses in context, there's a lot of evil things these people are going out and doing, sexually immoral things and whatnot. And there's many people in our world today that are chasing after immoral, illegal, unethical types of behavior and whatnot in our culture. And it seems to be the culturally accepted thing to do. But if you're a Christian and you want to shine your light, you've got to be different than this culture we're living in today. You've got to be countercultural. Young people, it's okay to be different. I'm glad when people look at me and say, there's something different about that fellow there. Hallelujah, I must be doing something right. Because if you can't pick me out of the crowd, I'm doing something wrong. I don't mind to be different in that. Oh, you mean that when I'm going out somewhere that I don't have to get sloppy drunk to have a good time? Absolutely. I'm the life of the party when I go out to some of my employee dinners and whatnot. I'm the only manager they've ever invited to their little dinners when people are leaving the bank or something. They didn't invite them. They say, "Will you come?" We're all laughing, having a good time, and I never had a sip of anything but water. I mean, I'm just a good person to be around, I guess. I don't know. I'm coming down out of the clouds. But I don't mind that they, and when they start to talk about stuff, and I mean, I have people say, "Oh, it's been a terrible day." I have bad days, y'all. I don't never have to go home and have me no beer. I never had to do that. I don't go home and smoke a cigarette to do my nerves neither. I don't go home and smoke a joint. I don't go home and snort no drugs. I don't go home and do anything other than just dealing with the fact that life sometimes stinks. And I just deal with it and go, you know, we reset the next day. You wake up and say, "Lord, please let this day be better than the day before." And I had a customer come in the other day and he said, "Boy, this has been one of the worst days I've ever lived since yesterday." And I thought, what a real bright way to live, you know, out there like that. But, you know, I just don't, folks. There is a different way we can live other than what the world says that we're supposed to live. I still get up and enjoy life. And you don't have to go along with the culture. I'm living proof of it. And I'm a young person. I don't have to do what everybody says we're supposed to do. You don't have to go and party like all that. We went last night and had a good time outside of one particular person we'll talk about in a minute. But, you know, we had a great time last night. And y'all went and ate fish and you do things. You have great times and you don't have to do anything that leads to debauchery and all this that Paul is talking about here. Folks, if you are going to shine your light, I want to submit to you that you have to live counter-culturally, okay? It says in Romans 13 and verse 14, rather, so we're not supposed to be living in that way. This is what we're supposed to be doing. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. I preached that verse and this really the whole passage, several years ago, talking about the apparel of Christ and what did it look like to clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. I would submit to you, if you're putting on the clothes, quote unquote, come on, you know, work with me on the analogy that Paul is using here, of the world, then you're hiding your lamp under a bowl. If you're looking, and I'm using this as an analogy, if you're looking like the world, acting like the world, talking like the world, walking like the world, then you're a chameleon. And the Bible never said, blend in. Be a chameleon. Don't let them be able to poke you out of a crowd. It never said that. And we're not called to be chameleons. We're called to be a light in darkness. So, I want to give you an example. You ever been to sleep? And you're sleeping real good, and it's kind of early, maybe dark in there, and somebody comes and flips on the light, and you go, get the light on. Sometimes that may be how people should feel about you when you walk in the room. That you're so bright, and your light is shining so much in their darkness that they go, whoa, wait a minute. You know, when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration and he peeled back the veil, Peter, James, and John found themselves on their tush. They fell back. The Shekinah glory of God just hit them in such a way. Moses was in the presence of God and in that glory of God so much that his face was glowing when he descended Mount Sinai. People that are around us, it should be that we are a light to their glow stick. That you know those things that you put it up to the light and then it glows in the darkness. We should be that bright that we make other people glow. I'm trying to give you as many analogies as I possibly can to get this in your head. It shouldn't be that we're presenting to people the same darkness that they are currently living in. And participating in those things, okay? So, I give you a couple of items here. Really, sometimes Christians forget, I say, that the world is watching us. I don't mean just watching me because I'm a preacher. I mean, they watch you too. I mean, when you go to the restaurant today, they know you just come from church. Leave a tip because I said so. If you need a couple of dollars because you're that mean and cheap, I'll give it to you just so you won't look crazy and give us a bad name. I'll bring some ones next week. Good grief, people. When you go today of all days, I'm not saying put on a show because you ought not do it anytime, but today of all days, it's okay if that, you know, the waitress didn't cook the food anyway. But what you forget is that they're watching how you act. They're watching and listening to the things you're saying at that table. They look at what you order and what you do. The world is watching us. And we're oblivious to it sometimes. And they go, why do I need to go to church? I can live like the devil and not have to get up early and go to church and do all the rest of that kind of stuff. If we're just the same, what is the incentive for them? Nothing. So, we have to consider our speech. We have to be careful about what we say, how we act. Woo, what did I put in parentheses right there? Huh? Say it like social media. Y'all people have gone absolutely nuts on social media out there, putting all kind of stuff out there, liking things. I look and I go, that person liked that? Keep going. I'm not liking that. I'm not liking is almost giving a thumb. It is a literal thumbs up to if there's no, Debbie, when you're not on Facebook, honey, liking is it's a thumbs up thing that they do on there. All right. But, you know, especially I've seen some people love, you know, the little red heart. And I'm thinking, what is their problem? Not just people here. I'm just saying other folks too. But what I've also seen, though, is Christian people not realizing, I don't know, I guess they should realize, everybody in the world can see what you just said. And it stays out there. How many times have a politician put something really stupid on Twitter or whatever, and they then go back and delete it, but the CNN's already got it? We screenshotted that thing. It's out there. Folks, when it comes to shining your light, let Facebook maybe be a tool to shine, but I think for the most people, it's a bowl that you're covering it up. And I mean, sometimes people are writing some very pious things, but they do it in such a vilification way sometimes when they're responding back to people. Mostly it's responding comments that I've seen on Facebook and thinking, why would you say that kind of stuff? You wouldn't engage with somebody face to face quite like that unless they were really arguing with you vehemently. But social media is something that even our kids today, it's a new phenomenon, even though it's been around for a while, that we're just not checking ourselves and how we speak. We're very much more free-flowing on our social media stuff. And so when I went to talk about speech, I said, well, I got to make sure I mention about social media stuff, because people, they'll say something out there they never say out of their own mouth, but they'll type it, though. And I'm thinking, man, it's really worse, because we can go back and read that stuff. Be careful about your speech. Be careful about how people hear that you talk. All of us have to deal with that. And that's not just cussing. I mean, that's not what I'm just talking about, just cuss words. I'm talking about the manner and how we speak, the tone in which we speak. Boy, I know Brooke, she's in here. She's like, I know he better be preaching that to himself. And I do. I get upset sometimes. I'm not immune to that. not the batteries, is it? This thing keeps going in and out. But anyway, we must consider our entertainment. What do we do for fun? Places we go, music we listen to, movies we watch, shows that we watch. We must watch that, shouldn't we? You sitting in a movie that, 50 Shades or something, I don't know. Shouldn't be a movie that you should watch. Shouldn't be a movie that somebody should see you watching. You shouldn't watch it at home by yourself. You shouldn't watch it in a movie theater. There's many other ones I could choose. I just chose that particular one. There's many others that are even borderline things that are out there. But I'm saying, whatever it is, music is also a big deal. Music is almost worse in times is that people put it in their ear and that's all they listen to. And music, I did some studies on this when I was in college. The music and video games and things of that nature really, really play a lot into our subconscious. But you ought to watch the music that you listen to. I mean, I did this. I couldn't do this to y'all because Facebook doesn't do it like this. But back in the days of MySpace, y'all remember that? I was youth pastor at the time, and I put this slide up when I was teaching, and I had just initials. And there were several youth that had some really raunchy stuff on their MySpace as far as music was concerned. Very vile language that was in there. But on the other side of their page, it was a list of what's your favorite this and what's your favorite that and what do you do for this. And they were, the Bible's my favorite book and Jesus is my Lord and Savior and all this stuff. And then the first words of this song over here were four letters and started with F. And I thought, wow, isn't that awesome? So, I put it up there, put the song on. We didn't have internet at church, so I had to do all kind of crazy things to make this happen. But I sent my middle school kids out, and Brooke took them, and I had just the high school kids, and I played it. I clicked on it and played that song. These kids, and I didn't have just all white kids either, but they were all, when they heard those lyrics of those songs after that, and that I played it in church, and I was real scared that some of the leadership of the church was going to have heard that. I thought, Lord, they're going to fire me sure as enough. But I looked at them and I said, what's the problem? You put it on there on your page for all the world to hear, but yet you feel a little weird for that being played in church. Folks, If you're feeling weird about saying something or doing something or watching something in church, you probably ought not be doing it anywhere else either. Come on, I mean, good grief. I mean, there's not many things. I mean, I put on, dress a little bit better when I'm in church and whatnot. I don't wear this at home when I'm just sitting in front of the TV. But good grief, I know that I'm not, that all of these things aren't really cut and dry. There are certain things that just don't even line up with the mission of the church that are okay in a secular event. There's no doubt about that. I'm not trying to say that everything out there is good enough to be in here and everything in here is out there, but I'm saying if you have the Holy Spirit tugging on you that is improper, then it's improper anywhere. That movie, or whatever the case may be. And when other people are seeing that we are partaking in that same kind of stuff, it gives license to them to do the same thing. Okay? We also should consider others. In a me society, we need to lead the charge in being selfless. You can't even get somebody to help you on the side of the road nowadays, and I understand all the risk. I understand that. But we're living in such dark times, you can't trust people and all the rest of it, and I get that. But we as the church are called and mandated to be selfless, not selfish. And when we try to retreat into our walls and in our doors and all this stuff, and we're only going to stay in our churches and we're never going to get out, we're never going to do anything, and we're never going to be seen outside in the world and whatnot, what's that do to our light? It only shines in here. What good is that? Most of y'all people are saved and Christians, not everybody, but most of them. The light needs to be getting out there more than it does in here. We can't just retreat to our churches. You can't just retreat to your home, or else you cover it up, okay? We need to consider other people. So, and I bolded this right here, and you ought to take this to the bank. We should be setting the standard for the world to follow, not us following the world's standards. I am sick and tired of people saying that the church ought to change because society is changing. I didn't think we were leading from behind. I thought we ought to be setting the precedent for what things are supposed to be. But if we are letting the world lead us, we are going down a slippery slope real quick, y'all. In your offices, in your homes, wherever you want to say that you are, you ought to be having a standard that other people should be wanting to follow, not following other people's standards. Christians were called to be leaders, even if that's not your forte, but we are called to lead. So, it goes to that second thing of we got to put yourself out there. So you got to be countercultural and go against some of the things that the world is doing. But you also got to put yourself out there. In Matthew 5, 14 through 16, I've referenced this many times throughout this sermon already, but you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So Jesus very eloquently here explained that nobody seriously goes in a dark house, lights a lamp, and then says, listen, I'm going to cover that up with a bowl. Two things are going to happen. The light is going to just obviously not shine, but it's going to go out. Without any oxygen, if you cover up a open flame, it goes out, right? Okay. Sometimes it's a lot harder to get something relit, especially if you look around and you don't have anything to start a fire with, all right? And that happens in our Christian lives. It seems like almost, quote unquote, that people's pilot light goes out, and that's a real bad thing. But so he's saying, no. When you want it to light, you get a stand. And you put that light on a stand, and that light projects across the whole house, and it lights up the whole house. And he's saying, that's what you ought to do. That's what you ought to do. You ought to be lighting up the entire house so that everyone is able to see. Now, I ask you, church, how do you do that if you don't even interact with people? How do you do that if you never go outside, you never talk to anybody else about Jesus Christ, you never invite anybody to church, you never pass out a tract or talk to, you know, anybody outside of your church and your family? How do you do this to the world without personal interaction? Somebody tell me, please, open forum. You can send as much money as you want to this church, but that money is not good at all if somebody is not going to be a human and actually apply that money somewhere. I mean, even if you can give money all day, and we've seen that in those apartments, you can give money all the time if people don't pay the bills. I mean, Ken could just not even pay the power bill and it would be gone. I mean, somebody has to do something with the money that is given, even when it comes to paying the bills. But I ask you, how do your children get raised without personal interaction? Did you do that with your children? Many of y'all have kids. You just don't talk to them, don't interact with them, don't invest in them at all. Just, hey, you say hey to them and that's it? Huh? No, you spend a lot of time with them kids, and you're trying your best to set them on the right path. Folks, the world needs that. The people that you interact with at the grocery store, Harry is a fine example of what I'm talking about. I don't matter where he goes. If he sees somebody at a register at Burlington or Macy's or anywhere else, and he's going and shopping for some Walmart, you know, he talks about being blessed. And he talks to people about the Lord. I've been to eat with Randy Matthews before, and he asked a waitress or waiter or whoever, you know, and a lot of times, most often, you know, do you go to church? You know, and he says he loves the Lord and all of that stuff. Wherever we go, that's our mission field. That's where we should be cranking up that brightness on our light, shining so much more. But oftentimes that's where we go to hide. Like, I don't want them to know. I mean, I don't know. What is it? Why? Why do we think that, as I told y'all a couple of weeks ago, the church has sat by while the spiritual erosion of our nation has taken place? We've watched it. We've sat back in our church. We've sat back in our homes, and we've watched the house just slide off that foundation. Foundation ain't moved now, but the house just seems to be sliding right off. And we go, man, the house is sliding off the foundation. Why don't somebody do something about it? As you're sitting there in your reclined chair with the remote in your hand. We bear responsibility in the church for the decline of our nation's spiritual circumstances. It is absolutely a failure of leadership. That's my opinion. If in my home the place was falling apart, I would consider that a failure of my responsibilities of leadership and what God has given me to do as a leader in my home. Okay? So thus, if the church is supposed to be leading and not just following, we must bear responsibility to what's happening in our nation. And in your office places and all the rest of it, we've got to put ourselves out there. We've got to get back out there. We've got to speak out about different things. Not just stuff that we disagree with. I mean, talk about the things. I'm not trying to call the church to picket everything that's out there, and things will come up in your mind. We got to protest. No, why aren't we even advocating things that are good? I think if we would advocate more about the things that we like, there wouldn't be so much need to picket things that don't like, because in the vacuum of leadership, we're letting other people make the choices. Then once the choice is made, we go, no, you shouldn't have done that. Where were you when the forums were held to gauge public opinion on whether we ought to do that or not? We should be leading. We should be out there talking about it, advancing the gospel. It should be first and foremost in our minds when we are shining our light in this world. We should not be just complaining that the world is dark. We must rise to the occasion and shine brightly. All right, last thing is we should always point back to the light source. We're not the light. We don't have any light within us except for Jesus Christ. Our job is to point people to Him, and we're mirrors. We're reflecting the light that Jesus is shining onto the world. All right. But where we have a problem in the church right now, the church is this huge mirror, right? And we're reflecting the light. But what happens, you probably had this in your car, mirror. Have you ever been mud bogging? And you get done, you can't see anything in your side mirrors. You know, why there's mud all over it? You gotta clean mirrors in order for them to reflect well, don't you? Okay. You know, your mirror and you has been like mine. You know, if you brush your teeth very vigorously, you get those splatters on your mirror, you know. You got to wipe that stuff off, and you got to clean your mirrors and whatnot. Dust gets on them, dirt gets on them, whatever else. If you want them to reflect well, you got to keep them clean. So if we're going to be mirrors for God and reflecting His light, one of the problems, this is what Satan knows. He says, I know there's a bunch of mirrors out there. But if I can just dirty them up a lot, they won't reflect well. Sin gets in the way in there. And we start going off track. And the light's still hitting, but it's being fragmented. It's not shining bright like it's supposed to. Folks, one of the impediments of shining your light is sinful behaviors. Being a part of the crowd, conforming to the world, all of that kind of stuff diminishes our light. If you want to shine as bright as you possibly can, then you've got to get rid of as much sin as you possibly can in your life and shine for God. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, the reason why we are shining is not so we get credit. It's Jesus' words here. He says, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds, and then what? They don't praise you. They praise the Father in heaven. That's what they're supposed to be about. There's a fine line between, you know, having, you know, being a light and then putting on a show to get attention for ourselves. This happens so many times, and I want to say when it comes to, I was so encouraged last night at the Winter Jam because there was a particular artist that was playing, and they had this video that was up there. And it was just really weird, the video. And it was a big kind of almost heavy metal type of circumstance. And I was like, this is something here. But when you go to a concert and there's 10 different types of bands, you're bound to have something that's not within your taste because there's varying different groups that were there. But I started to look at we had, 17 people or something? I started looking at the different rows and people were going, people my age? I was like, oh, this is good. This is good. So, I mean, and then Amanda Smith and them, and they're not here. I didn't want to point them out. They're the only ones that aren't here that got in late. So I texted her earlier, like, where y'all at? Anyway, they left before us. But they got up and walked out, you know, too, on this particular. It was just weird, and I'm not going to get into all that because it doesn't matter. But I was so encouraged with my people that they didn't like that. They didn't go, woo, the Spirit was just all in that, because I would have went, what is your problem? It was not. But I don't think there was one person in the group that was like, hey, praise the Lord. The Lord was just moving. It was a heavy metal type of concert. We were like, please, can this girl quit singing? She came in on a chariot and all this. It was weird. Okay, folks, listen. Yeah, see, this is the thing. Had nothing, really, there wasn't a lot of God pointing us back to God in that. Had a song that said, I'm not dead yet. Obviously, I mean, you're standing in here. but this is the issue that I see in the world. We have a lot of different crazy things that happen inside of our churches sometimes, and I have to gauge the crowd, especially my generation, because we applaud stuff sometimes, like, oh, that's a wonderful thing to be doing because everybody else is doing it, and I felt really good about that. That don't mean that God was honored in that. That doesn't mean that people were promoted to go and praise God. It is almost sinful. And I mean this, I want to say every time, but it is almost sinful to self-promote and to not be having something that points back to God, especially if you're going under the guise of Christian music. There are certain types of things that singing groups have done on this stage, right here, that I don't care for. I don't think that, I think it's a personal preference of mine that this place, especially the sanctuary, is a place that we should not just be treating as if it was some entertainment venue. Okay? And that we ought to protect that a whole lot. And people have done things, some jokes and stuff that some people think, oh, I don't know. That's not necessarily great. But that's a personal preference that I have myself. But see, we have gotten so eroded in our churches today. And there's, you know, this is a fine line. We've had so many conversations about things in present times along these lines. There's a fine line in what I consider things to be appropriate for Christians to do or not to do today. And some of those things are personal decisions that we must make. But folks, I want you to understand today that your light is supposed to be shining, and we've got to be careful at what we participate in and what we promote and the things that we do out there, and that we give license to other people to do that stuff. We've got to be seen as being different if we're going to change the world. You got to raise your children better. You got to teach them better. We've got to instill. You know what? This whole thing about people saying, well, my kids didn't want to come to church. So? When your kid gets up, I've got kids. They're never going to tell me that. I can almost promise you, my kid is not going to look at me and say, Daddy, I'm not going to church today. And they think that I'm going to honor that. Joshua's been in my house for quite a long time, and he's never said, I don't want to go to church today. I'm not going to presume to even try to drag them. I'm going to be able to be advocating for church in such a way that they're going to want to go. But if your kid gets up on Monday morning and looks at you and says, Daddy or Mama, I don't want to go to school, you don't go, oh, that's okay, baby, stay home. I don't want you to feel like I'm dragging you to school or nothing. Man up. Woman up. Lead your children. Quit letting them lead you. I got kids already, and I can guarantee you right now, I don't mind popping that butt, because I'm not going to have a kid run my home. I can guarantee you that. Nor, in the same respect, now y'all know I'm an A-type personality, and I just happen to be this way, so, you know, but nor in the world am I going to let people lead me to hell. No. I want to try to lead people to heaven. Amen. And that means today, younger people more especially, because we're going to be fighting some battles in the next 20 or 30 years that we're going to have to make some real decisions. Are you willing to stand firm? Are you willing to be so persecuted in your own nation for being different? You better make up your mind. Because not only is it coming, it's here. And when you shine that light, it puts a big arrow on you. And so you have to make a choice. Well, do I diminish that light a little bit so they don't see me as much? No. No. You still shine that light as bright as you can possibly do that. I ask you in the notes, I think, how has your light been shining? When you consider what you've been doing in the world today, how has that light been shining? Are you just conforming to the ways of this world? Are you just being like the world in your speech and in your actions and how you think about things? Or are you different? And I want to leave you with this. I used to say this to my youth group, and I think it's a powerful example. If I was to give a one-question survey to your family, friends and coworkers, not the church people, family, friends and coworkers outside the church. One question, two possible answers. Is your name a Christian based on how they act? Yes or no? What would be the results of those people who aren't sitting here today that just see you in normal operation at your job or see you at normal operation at school or in your house? Would they know just on how you act, or do they only know because you told them you went to church somewhere? See, I just happen to like when I go to a hospital and I go into a waiting room, I don't walk in and say, "Hey, I'm Corey, I'm the pastor." No, I'm so young, they sit back and they don't have a clue. And I've sat in a waiting room before, I've told y'all this before, and just so happened to be Earl's family. And Wendy's husband, they were sitting over there. They had not met me yet. And they wasn't anything real bad, so I'm not telling a terrible story that's going to embarrass you or nothing like that. But they had no idea that I was the pastor. And they were talking about some stuff, and they got to talking, and I can't remember what they were saying over there. It wasn't anything really off color. But Donna walks in, and she goes, "Oh, hey, Corey." And she said, "That's the preacher." And they went. And I was like, "It's okay. It's all right." You know? But I have done that so many times over the years. People have been there. Not that I've not really had anybody that's done anything too terrible saying anything bad, but the look on their face, they were like, "I'm glad I didn't say something else over there." But most of the time, they don't go, "Oh, I'm so shocked." Most of the time, people they say, "Oh, yeah, I get that." If somebody goes, "What? Him?" I think I would have did a little bit of a disservice to the Lord. Let me just be clear to you. I'm not trying to be haughty about this. And it's not just because I'm a preacher. It's always been this way. Everywhere I go and wherever I'm around somebody, God is going to come up somewhere. Faith is going to come up at some point if I'm around people. I've told the jobs I had, if you fire me because I talk about the Lord, that I'm going to just wave that pink slip as I go to the Macon Telegraph and tell them you fired me because of my religion. Okay. You need to take those. I look at those as opportunities for me to minister and to shine my light. The worst thing you can do is to do what I did when I worked for Chick-fil-A. And I'm leaving you with this seriously. As I got in with the crowd, I was serving here even at the time. And language was a terrible thing. Jokes and all that stuff were bad. And I just got right on in there with them. We worked all the time. And I remember my cook, his name was Corey. I mentioned that I was a youth pastor or something. And he turned, we were standing at the counter where we were putting the sandwiches down the chutes. He was to my right, about this tall. He turned to me and said, "You're a youth pastor?" And I mean, the Holy Spirit had rolled me over his thing, pow, pow, just tearing my tail up. I felt like I was a millimeter tall, and there was nothing I was going to do to recoup what I had just lost. It was a big decision, big reason why I eventually left Chick-fil-A and went in to banking. It was a powerful moment that God whipped my tail about how I had acted and how my light didn't shine at all. Okay? So, I am not speaking from a place that I've never made mistakes in this way. I'm speaking from a place to where I know, and I don't want to get my tail whipped like that again from God, although I've had some mini whippings, but that one was a major beating that I got right there. And because I knew better. But I just took that bowl and covered up my light. And I'm telling you, that's the worst sin you can make. If God has a scale of us pushing people further from the gospel because we're Christians and we're bad examples and you push people further from Christ, that's got to be the worst thing that you could do as a Christian person. Lead people to him, okay? And I pray that you would watch your lamps. Let's pray. Father God, I just praise you and I thank you.